click the button.
Thank you. You're always a step ahead of me. Okay. Well, if everyone's ready, I'll start the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I am your Ewan Rankin stand-in today. Ewan is out today and tomorrow because he is on his yacht. Or at least that's what I assume, and good for him. And what I'm hoping is that means at some point in the future, we can do on-location shows from his amazing yacht. Until then, we'll just hang out in the studio, and we have an awesome panel today. So I will just go around my screen and introduce everyone. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing fine. It's always good when Thursday comes around and there's a show. Always excited for that.
I totally get it. I look forward to Thursday and Friday every week. And not because the weekend is coming, because that time is arbitrary anymore. It's because of these shows. So I'm with you. And I look forward to hanging out with all of you every single week. So much fun. Ian, how are you?
I'm good. I'm tired. It's been a long week. I've had my hair cut, which is a good start. I now don't look like the Yeti. So that's a good start. And I've had my COVID jab, another good start. Apologies for not being here last week. I was feeling a bit rough, but it's now completely fine. So that was all good. And this week I've spent my week putting out dumpster fires of different problems at work. That's been my entire week, putting fires out. And at last, it's getting towards the end of the week, which is good. And I think most of the fires now are out, hopefully.
Hopefully.
But yeah, that's been kind of a busy week. So looking forward to this now for a bit of fun.
Yeah, and now you have me thinking I should change my cool thing for today and make it the dumpster fire candle that I've seen online. I have to see if I can find a link to one.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Rich, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Jeff. It's good to be back.
It's great to see you here. And, you know, we're at the point where I feel like you bring us a t-shirt of the week. So what's your t-shirt?
I kind of do. This is, I'll move the microphone if I can. Then this is an Animal Crossing meme that says, is this a monster meme with the butterfly? You kind of have to know your memes and your Animal Crossing to get this one.
That one is very meta.
It's a bit niche and meta, that one, isn't it? Yeah. I was quite pleased when this one popped up on the store.
So very nice.
I kind of like them. The harder they are to understand, the better they are. That's it.
Well, it makes the in crowd that much more exclusive.
That's why. Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Yeah. And Muller, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I've been out and about starting fires in Yorkshire.
Ah, so now,
oh,
now
it's
we
you,
know.
Is it?
Oh, that
yeah.
was you.
Right. Yeah.
In dumpsters, okay. Mainly.
It's all coming together now.
Yeah. And cycling.
Nice.
I heard there was like a demo meetup somewhere, like an accidental one. Demo told me that last week, I want to say. You were driving, like he was, I think, walking around or driving around, and you were driving around, and you just popped into each other.
Who? Me?
Demo. Damien.
Oh, Damo. Oh, yeah, I bumped into Damo. He was hanging around on the canals. I think he was. Mm-hmm. He said he was taking photographs, but I don't know. He might have been in Petunia. especially a bit further down that part of the canal. That's where the shall we say the boys look. You know, sell their bodies for money. So Damo listens to this.
So the business
like,
just.
This is district, yeah.
Birmingham. So you get it. So people ask you for a refund then, Muller, while you were down there.
Yeah. Oh God. It used to be one of our things we used to have to do, chase them away, because we get complaints.
Oh yeah.
But because it's underneath the railway bridge going into New Street, so it's quite a lot, you know, if you know how many lines there are, there's about 8 lines. So it's a very long tunnel. And they can hang down there and it's dark and they can enjoy
conduct business. Well, you can't fault someone for being an entrepreneur.
Let's leave that one alone.
Well, hey, on that note, who has the first story?
That'd be me.
And that would be Patrice.
Yay. I was fast enough.
Oh, if she's not beat me. Have you beat me to mine? No.
Nope.
All right. So Patrice, Google's new feature, time-lapse, offers users a view into the last four decades.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting project. Google Earth has been around for quite a while, but they've also added like old data basically to create basically Google Earth for the last 40 years. So you can go back, or you can go like, I don't know, they have some examples that they've curated where you can go in and I don't know, I think it's, was it San Francisco? Like some city, I don't remember. It was like some city, how it's growing, for example, or changes in coastlines in some islands and so on. So basically you can see how the Earth has changed over the last 40 years in a time lapse. Like it's pretty cool. Like you see how things are changing, moving around, like beaches disappearing or appearing. And it works really well. I mean, it's not, I found it, the qualities, like especially the earlier photos is, don't zoom in too far. Let's put it that way. It's not current 2021 Google Earth quality. You see the difference in some cases where it's like, it just wasn't the technology that was used or wasn't there yet, but it is pretty good. Like it's, I mean, the data sources, I think that they worked with NASA on this one, and the data is pretty good. So it's, NASA and the US Geological Survey, basically. It's, as I said, 1984 to 2020 for every location on Earth.
Even I just Nebraska anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to watch the change. And you can see when the satellite was upgraded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see the quality gets better. Yeah, or it was a different data source, maybe. Like maybe the earlier ones are from a different provider, for example. So yeah. Super interesting. I kind of wonder what, like, this, I mean, it is kind of a, it's kind of a technology of the last, I don't want to say last century, but like the last, let's say 60 years. To even have satellites and have photos of the Earth and have that. And I mean, we've never had that before. We don't know how the Earth looked like 100 or 1,000 years ago. 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. So kind of, it will be really interesting as time progresses to see that.
Yeah, we've only really got things like the fossil record now, haven't we? And stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The only way we can really see how the coastlines changed and old maps and things, which are not to be trusted normally, but
no, they're not the same quality level. I mean, a photo or like, high resolution photo, especially is just much, much better. Especially when it comes to like bigger changes, as I said, like, I don't remember what city it was, but there was one city where like, you see it's spreading out. And that is something I don't think we could capture any kind of like, any other way.
I'm just looking at the one for my own city at the moment, just seeing how that changes. Yeah. We haven't got much bigger, but I think we're getting denser.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. There's more building kind of thing, and there's more expansion within the same area rather than big bits that were greener going away.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, might be interesting to look at some of the coastline near us, because that is sort of definitely being eroded.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to be able to see the coastline sort of shrinking almost, or increasing, in fact, the sea increasing and the coastline shrinking.
Well, there's a big collapse, weather in Portland. the UK port and not American.
Yeah.
Where but half the other Jurassic Portland. Coast for, yeah, the first one. Yeah, half the, about, was it 400,000 tons of rock fell off the cliff into the sea? Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was a lot anyway. But where my brother lives, the coast, he lives near Lowestoft, and the coast there is eroding by about 4 foot a year. So I've told him he'd better move.
Oh yeah, what, well, yeah. Closer to the coast, closer to the edge. I mean, there's in my time of living up here in Yorkshire, we've on the Scarborough coastline. I mean, Rich, you'll probably remember this, the because you're vaguely local as well, aren't you? There was a hotel in Scarborough that fell into the sea called Holbeck Hall. I remember, not long after I moved up here first, back in the early 90s, and the guy built this hotel in the 1900s. We were just walking past it recently, and we were talking to my daughter's daughter doing coastal erosion as part of geography in school, so it all kind of came together as a conversation. And it used to be sat, it was built 1900 by this guy, and they did say, you know, it's probably going to go away, and he goes, I don't care, I'm going to live in it, I'll be dead before it's gone. And sure enough, as time passed, the coast eventually dropped away, and this hotel slowly meandered its way into the sea over the course of a couple of days.
Wow.
And I know, talking to my neighbour, he'd been off to, I think he's between, again, the same coastline a bit further down to a caravan park that he goes to, and he was saying the coast has moved back by 3 or 4 feet over the last couple of years, essentially, of, again, coastal erosion stuff going away. So it's amazing how our planet's changing.
It is. I'm fascinated looking at Boulder, because we created a artificial constraint for the city. There's all this land around the city that was bought intentionally to not be developed at commercial or residential. So it's like this giant park sort of thing around the city. And so you look at the city itself and you don't see much change because it's not growing out, but you look at, you can see where the edge of Boulder's open space is, because right at the edge going out from there, all the other towns around are growing big. Just fascinating. Mm-hmm.
We've got a similar UK. We have green belt, which you're not supposed to build on, but they are slowly giving up, you know, there is erosion of the green belt. That's the idea, was to stop. It was originally for the London area, because London was growing exponentially between the war, between the Second World War and the 60s. And they were getting frightened that, you know, London was just going to get, just expand and expand and expand. So they brought in this new policy, green belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, what's also very interesting is like to see, like, we've had a quite a big share of catastrophes, like natural disasters, the last 40 years. I mean, there was Katrina in the US, there was like the tsunami in Japan. Mm-hmm. And you can see the impact. And I mean, some of that we've seen because some of it has been released before, like in individual pieces. But you can zoom in and look at it.
Yeah, I was in Las Vegas when Katrina hit. We managed to get a plane to New York. We got to New York and they said, "Oh, we can't fly from here." So 2 days later, they flew us down to Austin, Texas. And I was looking at the airport window. And I said to the missus, "said you can see the damn thing why they brought us down here." They literally plonked us on the edge of Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
You literally see it from the airport window, and we were there for about 24 hours, and the airport couldn't fly out of there either. So I don't know why they bothered moving us.
That's too bad. You couldn't leave the airport. Amazing barbecue in Austin, mm-hmm. Absolutely amazing, and fantastic. Well, we music
probably could have left.
Well, you missed still an had opportunity.
Yep.
Well, we could have left, but they'd have probably got a plane and then it would have flown out, and I had to be back at work. I was late for work for 48 hours, and they were going, "Well, you're supposed to be back here." And I says, "I can't help the weather." All the planes were grounded. They were on the, all the planes were in the wrong places, weren't they? They, you know, so we just couldn't fly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 4 days before I got home. In all, of course, you couldn't get a hotel in New York when we were there. We had to went to the first one right on the airport. That was full. And then we had to get a taxi to take us out. Oh, where was it? Newark. We were in Newark. We had to go into the town, which is about 25 minutes in a taxi. I managed to find one there. And there was loads of other from the airport were there, all with the same moan.
So welcome, everyone, to Mueller's Travel Adventure Show. The your weather story ties nicely into Ian's story, which I think also ties nicely into Patrice's story. So Ian, tell us about the weather supercomputer.
Yeah, I hadn't realized when I posted it in the chat was the UK's just building for our Met Office, our National Weather Service, a brand new supercomputer. The company got a Cray XC40, so it's not a desktop PC in the back of a room somewhere that does the weather. It's a proper machine, and they've now invested a vast amount of money in a multi-million deal with Microsoft to use sort of things like Azure and other stuff, to intelligent AI, to open them up to being able to. It's going to be the most powerful. I think we're going to be using cloud computing. They don't actually say that in as many words, but they'll be dipping into the Azure stack and that. And where was it? There was some really good numbers in it. I missed them. It's to do with the calculations. We rely heavily on the weather in the UK for working out and planning out building, agriculture, and all those other kind of things. And so we've every year for the last, I think it's in 2007, apparently we've had a flood every year. Mm-hmm. In some part of the UK, we've had a flood. And we want to be able to simulate and predict this. So we're better informed and we're better able to deal with it when it happens. So that's the idea of the computer. And it's going to be the most powerful one in the UK, the most powerful supercomputer in the UK. This will be the biggest one. Mm-hmm. And I think something like second or third in the world. So 16 mm-hmm. trillion calculations a second.
That's insane.
That's pretty, yeah. I mean, that is especially in, like, as we're seeing more and more climate change influences, it's very important to... Like to map that out and say, okay, what's going to happen? How do we prepare for it?
Yeah.
Like when okay, this area is going to get flooded every year from let's say in 5 years time, it starts and then every year it gets flooded. Don't build anything important there. Exactly. Or at least if you build something, make sure it can withstand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, also they were saying it's powered by renewable energies. So it will save 7,415 tons of CO2 in its first year. So again, that's brilliant stuff. I like that. It's good. It's all, this is good stuff. There's a nice link, actually. If you take that, you go to the Met Office's full-on press release, and there's a load of interesting stats and nice little diagrams of what they're up to with it. It looks fantastic.
Twice better as forecast. Fast as the Cray supercomputer system they're using currently. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
285,000 CPU cores.
Yes.
Just imagine the games you could play on that.
Oh, yes.
You know, in Star Trek The Next Generation, every now and then they would talk about the specs and processor power of their computers and data.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making computers now that surpass the specs that they tossed around in Next Generation.
So what you're saying is we should have starships by now?
We should have starships by now. We should have warp technology. We should have sentient androids that are fully functional.
We should completely. Why haven't we got jet cars?
Exactly. No, we do. They're called helicopters.
True.
Flying cars.
Batwench asks, fully, meaning fully functional? Yes, Batwench, fully functional. If it worked for data, it can work for us.
That's true. Yeah, but except those computers, I mean, especially in like in the, it's not really weather, it's climate, in the climate research area. I think that's probably one of the big areas that has been driving like supercomputers.
It's like,
as far as I'm aware, I mean, maybe I'm forgetting something, but as far as I'm aware, the biggest supercomputers nowadays are mostly used for climate research.
That wouldn't surprise me, in part because it's so complex, but also mm-hmm. because we're at the point now where there are so many weather data stations that are feeding information in because
constantly.
Yeah, because you can buy your own, set it up at your house, and then feed that data into the system. And you know, there are thousands, millions of people that are doing this. And that's a lot of extra data to have to process.
Yeah. And it's one area, like aside from, I think, space, like any kind of space research, where all countries in the world are working together. Like even people that usually might not like each other, the scientists are working together. They're all sharing data. There are no borders really when it comes to climate research and weather.
We're all on this fragile little blue dot together, aren't we?
And I mean, something that happens in rural China somewhere in a far off corner can have an influence on, I don't know, New York.
Well, we recently tracked weather patterns from the west side of the Pacific Ocean, and were able to project from that when we were going to get a major blizzard in Colorado, like almost down to the hour. And the only thing that ended up being wrong about it was that there was a change in temperature in one place along the way, and it moved the blizzard from the Denver Boulder area up to Cheyenne. So we still got a lot of snow. We just didn't get 4 feet of snow. That all ended up in Cheyenne instead. But I mean, still to have that level of accuracy and tracking data from the west side of the Pacific, it's just amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just going to the weather side, if you remember, I want to say, I mean, as far as back as I can remember, weather like in the 90s, it was like usually not very accurate. I mean, maybe for the next day, it was halfway there. Like the general direction was maybe correct, but that was about it. And anything beyond that was basically just guesswork. Nowadays, I mean, it's not hyper accurate if you go like 2 weeks out. But like a couple days, it's usually more or less spot on. I mean, even the temperatures within like a couple degrees, like each direction. So like, and for the next day, it's usually like if they say it's going to start raining at 2 p.m.
It's about 2 p.m.
Probably going to be starts raining. About 2 p.m. Yeah. I mean,
it is a lot better than it used to be, where I quite often always made the analogy that forecasting really was. There was two cups on the forecaster's desk that had dye inside with the little pictures of all the weather symbols. You'd shake them up and then throw them on the desk, and then they'd look and see what looked most realistic for the day, and that was the weather forecast. And that was probably as good an odds as it was of using whatever prediction methods they were using. But no, you're right. I mean, my phone tells me it's going to rain, and 90% of the time, 80% of the time, it's right, which is pretty good, which is not bad at all, given the sort of the world as it's, you know, as we're now getting more data and we're able to predict this stuff better, is getting better.
Yeah, I mean, we've moved from general trends. I mean, they could tell back then, they could tell, okay, it's going to rain somewhere in the UK. I mean, that's a good guess. Any time of day, that's true. Anytime. But, they could say, okay, there is rain coming. They could see that in the radar data and so on. They could see rain is coming. They could see like general patterns, like big areas, but they couldn't do local. Like if they wanted to say, okay, this is how the weather in Birmingham is going to look like, it was getting shaky.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got. Yeah.
And now you can go like local. Like probably you are, I don't know, you're part of town, you can tell how it's going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, I always still marvel at the thing when I drive across the city and I go in and out of rain showers as I go, because it's, you know, it's isolated between locations. I still marvel at that now.
Yeah.
Well, if you're using something like Dark Sky that gives you hyperlocal weather data, it'll tell you it's going to rain or snow or whatever where you are in 15 minutes, and it will snow for 18 minutes.
I mean,
and 15 minutes later it starts snowing, and 18 minutes after that it stops.
Yeah. I mean, it is to some extent easier to do that, especially when it's very close to the time. But even as that, if you look at like bigger weather services, like they can do that, like not maybe at that local level, but they can predict it over like a day or a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and maybe not like for like in 3 days, it's not to the minute correct. It's like maybe, okay, it's going to rain somewhere between 2 and 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. But I can tell that.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. All the research that has been done, but also all the compute power that we have nowadays.
All right. Now I want to get my own weather station to put up at my place.
And your own supercomputer.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'll have to start with getting one of the small weather sensor things, mm-hmm. and build up to my supercomputer. Yeah. All right. Who has the next story?
Anyway, I like Batwench's story. She had sunny in the back of the house and raining at the front, and it really confused the cats.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That sounds like Colorado weather.
It's true.
Yeah, that would confuse the cats.
All right, Rich, tell us about your Discord story.
Well, there have been rumors circulating for a little while that Microsoft, of all people, were going to buy Discord mm-hmm. for an absolute butt ton of money, because that's what things cost these days. And Discord has become hugely popular over the pandemic, with people staying in and playing more games. If you've never used it, it's a chat room for gamers. On an app, really. It's angled towards gaming, but there's far more. I use it for all kinds of things. But anyway, Microsoft were going to buy it, which put the fear of God into everybody, because Microsoft kind of have this track record with messaging systems that is somewhat patchy at best.
Yeah. With a lot of things. Like they've acquired a lot of things and then not done much with it.
I mean, what is Microsoft's current messaging platform? Is it still Skype?
Teams now, they'd argue, probably.
Teams. Skype teams. And Teams, yeah.
Teams is what they'd argue probably over everything else.
Yeah, I think they're making Skype go away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are they going to bring Teams to a more public sort of thing? Because it feels very work-based, Teams at the moment.
Yeah.
It's not like my mum's not going to get Teams and start chatting to people on it. Like Skype. But Skype was something that was the big deal in instant messaging and video chat and audio chat. What? And then it's gone, sort of. Why? Because they could have just, I don't know.
It got Microsoft.
It got Microsoft. that was it. And their own thing, MSN, which was a huge mm-hmm. chat system back in the day.
Massive. I mean, one could argue MSN was one of the first global chat systems.
Mm. I'd go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, they were going to buy Discord. Everyone hated that idea until the other day when they announced we aren't selling to Microsoft. Because I get the feeling that maybe the people at Discord are also aware of who Microsoft are and what they've done things. And they thought maybe even for $10 billion, we've worked really hard on this. And maybe someone else will give us $10 billion and not flush the whole thing down the toilet. So while they've not said they aren't going to sell to anyone, they have said if they do, it won't be Microsoft. So panic over in Discord land there.
All right. I'll be able to breathe easy.
I mean, yeah. You're saying Panic at the Disco take?
write that down, take? Patrice, because I think you just found our show title.
Yeah. Is it the Irish one, though? It's Discord Air or Discord.
You know, I was actually worried about Microsoft potentially buying Discord, because it's been a really useful platform for me. And that's even as a very casual gamer. So I'm not using it in a gaming sense. But there are people that I have chats going on in Discord. I know people that instead of using Slack for their community chats, they've just set them up in Discord instead.
Yeah. There's all kinds of groups.
Yeah. And before we were just doing video for all the shows, I would record podcasts in Discord because the audio quality was far superior than Skype.
Yeah, I've done that myself many times. It was just easier to have a Discord room to have everyone log on to and record your podcast that way.
Yeah.
So thank God they haven't got it. I'm always bewildered by big companies' ability to look at a successful thing and think, that's great, we should have that and change it. No, it was working. That's why you were looking at it in the first place. Leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. But
that's not a Microsoft thing to do. Although I don't know. I feel I'm used to ragging on Microsoft a lot. And I don't think they're as bad these days as they have been with particular things. And I don't know. I'm turning around on them a bit. I feel like I've been unnecessarily mean to them in the past.
Well, my feeling is Microsoft has a track record. And so it's their job now to prove to me that my concerns are unfounded.
Yeah. Exactly.
But they can do it with a different company than Discord.
Yeah.
Yes. Just leave Discord alone.
Could have been Google, because they would have just used it for a bit, then decided, oh, we don't want it.
They'd just shut it down, wouldn't they?
Well, they'll just steal the bits they like. Usually what Google does, they steal the bits they like and get rid of the rest. Microsoft, to be fair, kind of ruined the parts
that they liked.
Yeah. Microsoft, to be fair, did that as well.
Mm-hmm.
My cat's just jumped in my sock drawer.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm still surprised nobody's tried to buy Zoom.
You'd wonder, wouldn't you?
I'm pretty sure there have been offers.
I bet there's been offers. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think at this point, who could buy them? There are probably very few companies who could afford it.
Yeah, Apple could buy them, but Apple could buy anything at this point.
Yeah, including some companies.
Apple really haven't got that kind of client, have they? They could do with something like that.
Well, what would they do with FaceTime? With Zoom?
Oh, FaceTime's not that good, is it?
Well, FaceTime is really good, but it's not a business tool.
No, it's for talking to your mates, isn't it?
Right, and it's fantastic for that.
I guess what they're actually buying is the user base more than anything. I mean, there's nothing in Discord that Microsoft couldn't sit down and make themselves. I mean, they're Microsoft. They can make a chat app.
Yeah.
You would think.
They just need all those millions of users. And so once they've got them, they don't care what they do with the thing that they got them from.
So the valuation of Zoom, I just looked it up, is about 97 billions right now.
Wow.
Whoa.
So basically, very few. It would just be Apple that could buy them.
Apple, Facebook, maybe. They're crazy enough.
Oracle.
Is there a pro Zoom thing that I don't know about?
Sort of.
That's a Zoom Pro. Money?
Yeah.
Right.
It depends on what subscription level you buy into, what features you get.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I've
you can do webinars looked. With thousands of people if you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the package that I have, I think, is like $50 a year. And that gives me everything I need. I can have basically as many people as I can imagine joining into a Zoom chat. And I can have extended length Zoom chats instead of that, what is it, 30 minutes, 40 minutes that you get with the free level?
40, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Our company has Zoom, like Zoom Pro. And I mean, we have meetings, we have town hall meetings with multiple thousand people, so on Zoom. I don't want to know what we pay for it.
Yeah. No, I don't think you do want to know what you're paying for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we use wrappers. We use a company called Ring Central, which is a wrapper for Zoom.
Oh yeah.
And that's really great. I do all my training over that. And that's really great. I don't have any problems with it. It's brilliant.
Oh, they do a phone system as well. I had no idea.
Yeah, Ring Central.
Phone system, like a whole conference rooms. You can have everything from them.
Yeah, that's our VoIP provider we use. They're brilliant. Really good. Been a really good service.
Totally missed opportunity for Microsoft. I mean, they had all the tools they needed to do what Zoom has done over the last year, and they completely dropped the ball.
Oh yeah, Link and everything else.
Basically, when they took it over, if they had continued working on Zoom and improving it when they took it over, they would be probably far beyond what Zoom even can do today.
Yeah,
because the big selling point for Zoom was that it was better quality, easier app.
Yeah.
That was all.
And they were right, and it worked.
Yeah, yeah, it worked. And then pandemic, that helped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now,
but I mean, Zoom was popular way before that. Like it just catapulted it to another level. Like we switched to Zoom in 2017, I think.
Right. You know, I had no idea that being around that long.
Yeah. Discord could have done this as well, but I'm glad that they stayed focused.
Yeah.
Because I think for Discord, since since they were initially targeting online gamers.
Yeah.
And then it's grown out from that just because other people found it and realized this is actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done a massive growth like Zoom did, but I think that they could have had a lot of growing pains along with that.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting when you look at software from like a perspective where they're coming from. Discord started as a chat, and its core still is. Like you can do audio, you can do video there. Like they have audio channel, but ultimately they started as a chat. And it's a really good chat. Mm-hmm. Zoom started as a video solution, and their chat is kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I mean, it's getting better, but it's still crap compared to Discord. It's like complete garbage. But it doesn't matter because the main USP is video.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, all right. Well, I'm glad that Discord is not going to land in Microsoft's lap.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right, Mueller, what's your story?
Well, do you want to talk about Facebook or Samsung?
Let's talk Samsung.
Okay. All right, Samsung it is.
Okay. I don't want to talk about Facebook anymore.
Where's that gone? Oh, yeah. Facebook, sorry, Samsung.
Get the right one.
Samsung wants you to start using your cast-off phones and upcycle them into smart devices, monitor your baby or if your dog's barking or cameras, and the sensors could maybe do all sorts of other things. So I'm not sure how useful this would be. I don't think I'd want a load of old Samsung phones stuck to the wall. But it is one way, I suppose, of reusing instead of sticking stuff in e-waste. And it looks an interesting. I don't know if they're going to strip them out for you and you just take the bits you want and then stick them into something a little bit smaller. Because, I mean, do you really want a big phone stuck on your wall? I don't know what anyone else thinks.
The little bit of research I've done into this, I think it's going to be a software thing. So it doesn't change the hardware. You load the software onto your phone yourself, and then it can become the phone can become a like a webcam monitoring thing, or it can be a hub for other smart devices.
Yeah, I think that is actually very, very smart. I don't know how popular it will be, but I think, I mean, not me personally, because I always sell my devices, but I know a lot of people that have old phones at home that are just lying somewhere in like a drawer. And every 5 years someone pulls one out and says, oh, I still have that. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this might be super. I mean, we've seen it a little bit during due to the pandemic, where webcams were super hard to get, and I think are still super hard to get. And all of a sudden, a lot of devices were repurposed. I mean, I'm talking to you with that's my work phone, but a work phone that I would never use, that's now my camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is actually pretty smart. And if it's all software, you have an old Samsung phone that you don't need anymore, install software and then use it for something useful, that is way better than throwing it into the bin. Even if it gets recycled, it can get recycled later.
Right. Yeah. It's not going to change the usefulness of the phone if it's recycled next year or 3 years from now.
Exactly. But you don't have to buy an extra device. You can just use for the next, 5 years. You can just use that phone. And then at some point when it dies, or when you have another one to replace it or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you switch it out. I think this is smart, isn't it? I'm not sure how popular it will be. It sounds more like a geeky technical solution. But
still.
It's not going to be the general normobs, is it, that's going to do this? It's going to be people that have got knowledge.
Yeah, but I think there are enough of those people in the world that it would make a difference.
Mm.
Because those are probably exactly the people that would otherwise buy an entirely new device.
Mm-hmm. And the old one goes in a drawer.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, I've thought about buying another iPhone just for that purpose. Like an old, used, 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I do know people that have either held on to an old iPad or bought a used iPad just so they can use it as a smart home bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen people mount them to walls, like old iPads to control lines or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them being used for conference rooms to show the schedule.
Yep.
Yeah.
So these are the people that will reuse their old Samsung phone and turn it into smart home gear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it works, I don't see why. It's kind of a win-win. You can use a device that you already have to do something that you want to do.
Yep. And I agree. This is going to be a limited number of people that do it, but still it's cool that they can.
Hope that spreads. I hope more companies do that.
Yeah,
or there's a healthy third party market. It could also be someone just finds a way to flash those devices and does it themselves.
That would be
can imagine
cool.
That people are going to hack it, aren't they, and they're going to bring it to other phones.
Yeah.
Of
not
course.
Me,
yeah.
But somebody.
Yeah.
Well, there's all there was all the guys and XDA developers and that whole world of people creating ROMs for Android devices. There's bound to be someone that will create a package with everything in you need.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a refreshing thing to find out. I mean, we're sort of a week away from finding out that the PS4 and PS5, and now we found out the Xboxes have complete planned bricking built into them that will reach a point where these devices just cease to function, and that has been planned since the beginning. That this is a nice change, to be perfectly honest.
Completely.
All right, well, I guess that brings us to my story. And my story is about Cellebrite and Signal. So Cellebrite, that's the company that makes the hardware software combo to break into smartphones. So that's Android phones and iPhones. And they had announced a few months ago that they could break into the secure encrypted conversations between Signal users. And so Signal's like, yeah, we don't think this is going to happen, but okay. And now it turns out that Signal said that they found a Cellebrite kit that fell off the back of a truck. That's literally what they said. It fell off the back of a truck. And they dove into the gear and looked at it. And it turns out that Cellebrite system is so buggy and so unsecure, that it would be stunningly simple to hack back into their system and steal data, corrupt data, change data. And so they are now going to start just randomly adding a what they call just a pretty file that does nothing to people's Signal accounts. But if their phone is nabbed and then hooked up to one of the Cellebrite systems, it will then deliver this innocuous little file. This file will deliver a payload into the Cellebrite device where they can corrupt the data on it, making any Cellebrite device, the data that it collects, questionable, which means that it's going to be really hard going forward to use Cellebrite's data in court.
Yeah, that was super interesting. It was literally a file that they put somewhere. It's like it didn't even have to do any real hacking. It's just a file that gets scanned by the Cellebrite tools. And because they're so buggy and insecure, probably, but that's a different story. They can change the results of the current run. They can even change the application so that any future scans are completely garbage and are like, not even that they're not admissible in court. The data that it reports is completely wrong. Mm-hmm. There was basically no security at all.
Yeah.
What they said. So
what I'm hearing is put Signal on your phone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I said, and it can be in any app. It doesn't have to be in Signal. It can be in your like any app. You could put the file in your Files app or your OneDrive or whatever. Like, it does not matter.
So it gets scanned. Long before someone takes one of these files and says, here you go, just put this on your smartphone and just let it live there.
Yeah. I mean, that's not going to last very long because I'm hoping at least that there are somewhat, in order to crack a phone, there must be people there that have some idea what they're doing. So they're going to patch those issues and then, yeah, there's that. So it's not going to last very long, I guess.
Well, I think you're right, but at the same time, we both could be wrong, and this could be a problem longer than we would otherwise think, because
it's possible.
Because Signal isn't handing over all of the exploits that they found, and they found a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
And what they've said is, if Cellebrite agrees to release information on all of the exploits that they have found, and to continue to do that in the future, then they will give Cellebrite the information on all the exploits that they have found.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, it would be a cat and mouse game, because the second you put the file out there or you put it in Signal, Cellebrite can take it and can figure out what it's doing and then patch that. Like that's what I meant. Like, yeah, sure. I mean, if Signal has more vulnerabilities, they can go back and change it.
Yeah, and it sounds like Signal does have a lot of vulnerabilities that they can take advantage of. So they're not going to to show their card, so to speak. That you're just going to take this little exploit and send it out there.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. What it shows is the carelessness or the hubris of the people working at that, right? Because they didn't think their tools had to be secure at all.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, they're using some software stacks that they haven't chosen to update, and there's and there's so many years out of date that there are literally hundreds of known exploits in those stacks that they've included in their software.
Yeah, I mean, pretty typical for complex software, but.
Yeah,
it just shows you the priority wasn't to keep to have the application itself secure. They just wanted to break into other things.
That's true. Although they do include their own dongle that you have to use with the device to prevent piracy.
Yeah, of course. Of course. That's more important. It's more important than...
Yeah. So I guess that means they're concerned that the law enforcement agencies that are buying this are going to steal the software.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I wouldn't be surprised too. Like, if you know who they're selling it to, then I would protect that too.
Yeah, that's actually a smart move, but it is kind of funny.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, that those devices get put into, I would say, at least purportedly secure networks, then that is a problem.
Yeah. So anyhow, I just got a nice warm fuzzy inside, and I'm really liking Signal right now. Yep.
That was my backup story, so I'm with you.
Yeah, and I went with this as my first story because honestly, I thought someone was going to bring Ingenuity's first flight as their story.
Yeah, we all thought that, and nobody picked it.
Yeah. Short version: Ingenuity's first flight went perfect, and NASA is working on getting the second flight ready to go in a few days, which will be more complex than lift off, go 3 meters off the ground, and land.
So, which in itself is crazy already.
It's already crazy. Yeah. We flew a freaking helicopter on Mars.
Yeah, a drone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they also converted some oxygen as well. And they'll create some oxygen as well there.
Yep, they did. Yeah, that was the other piece.
So, very cool. All right. Hey, this show and all the others on the British Tech Network are sponsored by TSO Hosts. And thank you to TSO Hosts for having our back like that. Thanks to them, we have the bandwidth we need to bring shows to you. We have the storage space we need so that you can go back and listen or watch your favorite episodes or the ones that you just haven't been able to get caught up on yet. And if you happen to need hosting, well, they're there for you. That you can get your domain names through them and you can get hosting through them. And they will give you a deal because you are a British Tech Network fan. So very cool. Now, what they're asking of us is that we show them a little love because seriously, who doesn't need a little love? So take to your favorite social network and give them a shout out and thank them for supporting British Tech Network and all the shows. And that will make them happy and let them know that we all appreciate them. And we're also sponsored by iMin Max. And they're pretty awesome because they'll take all of your Apple gear that needs to be repaired and find a way to fix it for you. And they have fixed... well, upgraded Mueller's Mac Mini. So instead of taking hours to boot, and I swear I have no idea what you did to that computer to make it take so long to boot, but they were able to upgrade it so it boots quickly and it's faster, and I bet it doesn't try and fly off your desk anymore.
Yeah, and it doesn't get as hot either.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So I'm hoping that at some point I can get coordinated with Callum so that when I visit the UK, I can just bring over my two iPads that need new batteries and have him put those in for me, because that's who I trust to crack open my gear. And I'm pretty particular who messes around with my Apple gear. So
it must be a poor collection.
Well, you know, top quality stuff. So they also have gear you can buy, and they'll give you deals. And since you are a BTN listener or watcher, just let them know and they will give you a discount on your purchase or repair. So thanks to Iman Max for being our sponsor, and thanks to TSO Host for being our sponsor. And I'm going to do the same thing I do every week, because for some reason I've decided, Patrice, I need to rely on you instead of just memorizing a URL. Will you please tell people where they can find the chat room so that they can get the links to all the shows that all the articles that we've talked about and any other links that we have? Also, don't click Mueller's links.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really easy. Take your browser of choice, whatever it is. Point it to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then navigate to the 22nd of April, 2021. And there you will find all the links, everything we talked about, and all the cool things that we're about to talk about.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Which means it is now time for the cool thing. Patrice, what do you have for us?
Okay, I'm going to pick one of my absolute favorite shows from one of my absolute favorite actors, producers, Tim Allen. One of my absolute all-time favorite shows is Home Improvement. And he did a couple of years ago, like started in 2011, now in the 9th season, a show called Last Man Standing, which is, in a sense, the spiritual successor. It kind of follows a similar channel approach, but it changed quite a few things. He's basically playing this time around a father of three daughters. And yeah, he's basically trying to kind of navigate the modern life, and like all the, like they've tackled quite a few like changes, like quite a few discussions like Me Too and Black Lives Matter and so on. Also some political things, like he doesn't hold back on like his political viewpoints here and there. But it's a really interesting show. I really enjoy the cast. I was surprised that it's 9 season already. It didn't feel like it. I think it got canceled yet again. Like it was canceled somewhere in the middle, and then someone, I think Fox took over, and then it went for another couple of years. But I think I heard it's gonna end after this season. Which is fine. Like it was a really good show. I really enjoy it, and it's different enough that it's not like, oh, Home Improvement 2.0. It's its own thing, its own show. It's just, you can see the parallels, and you can see that Tim Allen is kind of playing the role that he loves, and he's working with people that he really enjoys working with. And I think that's totally fine. It was a good show. 7.6 on IMDb, I see. Yeah. Really nice show, and it's, the runtime is short, like it's 23 minutes per episode, so it's a nice short comedy show. You can't go wrong with.
I have not watched a single episode, you but should. Now I will on your recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on Hulu in the US. Unfortunately, I have not seen that it's streaming in the UK. You can buy it anywhere, but I don't think it's streaming.
It's on BitTorrent in the UK.
Oh, that, yeah, BitTorrent, Usenet, sure. Yeah, that's where it's available. Some episodes also on my Plex server, but yeah.
Nice, cool. All right, Ian, what do you have?
I have this thing here, which is an application called Royal TSX. It's a remote desk. It's a fairly niche techie tool, but it's, some people might find it useful. It's remote Microsoft Remote Desktop, VNC, all of those kind of SSH, all of those kind of apps, one window, multiple tabs. You can set up loads of connections, you can save them. It's portable, so you can move the configuration file between both Windows and Mac. I've got it running on both both platforms. It's a really great little tool for me day to day, jumping in and out of different virtual machines, jumping in and out of different customer servers and all that. It's brilliant. Really, really good tool. And it's not too expensive. You can, the free one will let you do a limited amount of things. I bought a license last year, $30-odd, and I got one that covers me for both Windows and Mac. So that was really good. And they've also got another server. If you're using it a corporate way, there's like a management server you can get, and you can then have a central point for all your passwords and stuff. But it's a cracking tool if you need something like this. It's probably the best one. I've played around with all of these, got competitive products like this, and it's probably the best one.
That's very cool. Awesome. All right, Rich, what do you have?
Just a little one. I talked the other week about how I was ripping all my audio CDs and building up my Plex library of music and that sort of thing. And one little problem that I ran into was, how do you rip a CD in 2021? Because it's just one of those things. That, yeah, how do you do that? It's like when occasionally my dad asked me to burn him something to a DVD, and you're like, I don't know how to do that anymore. That doesn't happen. It was, sorry. And so I discovered an app called FreeAC, Free Audio Converter, which is available on the Windows App Store. But it does great ripping of CDs, finds all your CDDB information and that kind of thing, and will let you rip to pretty much every audio format known to exist, which was what I was after because I wanted FLAC. iTunes will do it, but it ain't doing no FLAC, I can tell you that. So you need something else. And it's FreeAC, which is a weird and pretty much unsearchable name. I found it linked to on a blog post or something like that, but it is available in the Windows App Store. And I believe, yeah, it's free. It's called Free Audio Converter.
Awesome.
You mentioned CDDB. That took me back at least 15 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's still like, it's still a thing. It's still got all that data and everything like that. It's God, this is making me feel so old.
Yes.
You know, I have an Apple SuperDrive stashed away because every now and then I get a CD or a DVD, and I need a way to get it onto the Plex server. And so I pop that CD in, and CDDB is still doing its thing. It finds the track info. And people are still updating it, because if you get a brand new disc, a brand new album, and pop it into whatever player you've attached to your computer, it'll bring up the track info.
Hey, really cool. It's also on macOS and Linux.
Oh, excellent.
You know how long I haven't seen a CD or DVD or owned a drive? Like 9 years by now? Like, I think that when I got the 2012 MacBook Pro, the first one that didn't have it, like the first Retina one, I think that was the time I basically dropped all drive.
Can't remember when I got the one I've got, but it's probably about that same length of time ago.
And it still works, so that's cool.
I've still got one machine here that's got some kind of optical drive still sat in it, just in case something lurks. And it's my server. I can throw a disk in that if I need to, but I think it's a burner. But I think the drive in it's a burner, but I can't remember now. But yeah, I've got one.
I wouldn't even know where to go if I got a DVD or a CD and I needed it, like needed to read it anywhere. Like I couldn't even go to any friends or anything and say, can you like...
Patrice, that's one of the reasons why I still have that super drive sitting around, because periodically I'll have a friend ask if I have something that can read this disc that they have. And I can tell them why, yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
I was just thinking about it. I've never actually needed to do that, but I was just thinking if it happened, I don't even know what I would do. Probably go to Amazon and order one.
Yeah, for like $30.
Not expensive.
Like five by then.
Yeah, at this point, yeah, probably like five.
It's one of those things to have kicking. Oh, my in-laws bought themselves a tape player to MP3. Wow. They found a load of It's recordings of the family for various things over the year. My wife's grandmother and all talking about their lives, and they recorded it. And there's some of my wife on it and things, and they recorded them all years and years and years ago onto standard audio cassette. So my mother-in-law knows around the end that you get a million of it. It's the usual kind of Chinese thing that you can buy with a million companies' brand names on that look all identical. And you can get one of these things, and you pop an audio tape in it, a cable that's a USB, goes in the back of your PC as a bit of software, a few clicks, a bit of playing and whatever, and you can turn it into MP3s. We haven't seen the result yet because we haven't seen them for God knows how long, but when we do, I imagine we'll be regaled with some of them.
That's funny.
But yeah. But yeah, you know, you can get things vegan for audio cassette.
Yeah.
That's cool and weird at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only place where you might still see cassettes or CDs is probably your car. Like at least the players for it. Whether you're using it or not.
Yeah.
I've still got the Walkman.
Yeah.
They look like Walkmans as well. I mean, there we go. I've just quickly found one.
All right, Ian, I have a project for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find a company that's making an 8-track to MP3 converter.
There'll be one somewhere, I'm sure.
Oh,
It's probably on Alibaba. It has to be out there somewhere.
If you go to a YouTube site, local Techmo, look him up. He gets loads of these old stuff in, and it's fascinating. He uploads at least one video a week, but he's had all sorts of tape machines, wire tape machines. Yeah. That I think
it's probably not hard to do, because I mean, all you need is an AD converter, and you just like with the cable goes into that, and then on the other hand, on the side there's a USB. So
yeah,
it's probably
you just need some capture software.
Yeah,
I mean, capture software, anything can do it. Anything that can like read a microphone signal.
Yeah, and capture an audio signal, you're off.
Yeah.
All right, I want someone to do this with an 8-track and even go to the trouble to take the song that's cut in the middle because the track has to flip and splice it back together.
You know, there's still people recording albums on 8-track.
Really?
Yeah, they've got yet again this bloke Techmo. There's I think he's Swedish or Finnish or something, and he's issued his new album on cassette, on 8-track, on LP, and a couple of I think mini disc as well.
Wow!
And you can buy and he puts all the formats in the same box, and you can buy them.
Just wow. All right, Muller, so I assume that's your cool thing this week?
Yeah, I wasn't sure of my other one I'd used last week. So audiobook, probably mean nothing to you, but there's a bloke called Jeremy Paxman. He's a very caustic broadcaster. He's got a wicked sense of humour. And I bought his book on audiobook. I'm about chapter 10 at the moment. But if you're in the UK and you want to listen to a bit of Jeremy Paxman, it's really quite good. One of the stories he tells is that he was interviewing Theresa May, and she was in the news for having some leopard skin shoes, and they were referred to as fuck me shoes, and he didn't know what this meant, and he said, "Oh, are they fuck me shoes?" And she just looked at him apparently and gave him one of her sort of stares. That really kind of set the tone of that interview. But he's a really interesting guy. He's been on the BBC for years. All the British viewers all know him, and he's been to war zones and all sorts. And it's he's a very interesting guy, and it's well worth a listen. And it's only one credit on your Audible account.
I might have a look at that.
Wow. Yeah, really good.
Cool.
I mean, I can't. He's had a couple of other stories. Some stories he probably shouldn't have said, but he did kick the people's names out of it. So,
yeah, it's either one credit or £15 if you want to buy it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a credit.
And if you got one of the free services like Libby for your local your local library, you might be able to get it from there. I'm just going to have a look now and see if it's in there.
All right.
Mind you, audiobooks out soon.
So my cool thing, I've realized I have a pattern over the last few weeks because I just keep bringing new Lego kits. And Apple, or not Apple, Lego just announced their new R2-D2 Lego kit. It's $200. It's available on May 1st, and it's really detailed. So Batwench, I apologize for making you spend so much money because I keep bringing these cool kits to the show. This one, in his dome head, it has the periscope that comes up, and it has Luke's lightsaber hidden inside, and all of the arms that can come out of R2-D2, they can all swing out, and like his little grabber hands and his blowtorch thing, and the third leg can retract up inside, and the head spins, and it's like a really detailed, really cool looking model, and it comes with a little plaque, showing off R2-D2 features, and so this is available on May 1st. Also, good price per brick because it's 2,314 bricks, and it's $200. So, it's coming in at under a dime a brick, which is actually rare for a Lego kit, or excuse me, for a Star Wars Lego kit. They usually cost 12, 13 cents a brick.
Just post it in the Slack room for Batwench's attention.
Excellent. All right. Well, we have made it to the end of yet another show, and it has been quite a ride yet again.
Oh, yes.
As always. Patrice, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm here every week, here on the Big Show, also tomorrow and every week on the Mac Show every Friday. Everything I do, including all the social media links and the link if you want to buy me a coffee, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback, where I talk to really nice people about food and anything food related that comes with that, especially all the really fun stories from the past. And if you want to be a guest, reach out to me, foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. Ian, where can people find you?
You can find me here on The Big Show every week, and you can also find me on LinkedIn, Ian Grant, if you have a look around for me there. I'll also be kicking around in the Slack room from time to time, offering wise words of wisdom every now and again.
Awesome. And Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Barking, or you can find me at earlymorningbarking.com, or on the YouTube channel the same name.
Cool. All right, Muller, where can people find you?
I'm Muller Biker on Twitter, and you'll probably find me in Yorkshire with a box of matches.
Yeah, or in your sock drawer with a cat.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to shut the door on her. She couldn't get out.
Poor thing. All right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut, both places. Tuesday evenings, U.S. time, you can find me on Mac Voices Live here on The Big Show on Thursdays, and then The Mac Show on Fridays, and a bunch of other shows, too. I kind of get around. All right. Thanks to all of you for being such an awesome panel. This has been so much fun. And thanks to everyone that's tuned in live and to everyone that listens and watches later. All of you rock. And this is just so much fun to get to sit in for Ewan. And by the way, I will be sitting in for Ewan again tomorrow on the Mac Show. So be prepared for what I assume will be a wild ride, because we have Apple's spring-loaded media event to talk about. So thanks again to everyone. Thanks to TSO hosts and to Ibn Max for being our host. Everyone, have an awesome Thursday. We'll see you for the Max Show on Friday, and have an awesome weekend. And we've got a show.
Superb.
All right. Well, that was loads of fun.